Have you ever taken a test that had one of those things that had a like a bonus question on it? That if you could miss here, but you could have a bonus and you can make up for it. Has anybody ever taken a test like that before? You don't have to raise your hand on this, but have you ever gotten pulled over for a traffic violation, but they just sort of let you go? You know, it's like, yeah, now don't do that again. You know, it's just sort of... So I let you go. Have you ever done something wrong where someone had to forgive you? Have you ever had to forgive someone? Is it easy for you once that happens to totally forget that? You just never remember that again. You ever broken something and then fixed it and it looked okay, but you always knew it was still broken? Maybe nobody else really noticed it, you know, but you know that maybe there's a crack there or there's an imperfection or something. You know, all of these examples are some examples of ways of forgiveness and restitution. But there's a word we're going to talk about today called justified. And none of that really fully explains what being justified is. All those things have to do with forgiveness or restitution, but it's really not what it means to be justified before God. There's a verse, a couple verses. First one says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." And in these verses, it goes on in Romans here. The next verse says, "God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith." And it says, "For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." The word justified, the actual word, the Greek word is dikaiō, which is basically a legal word. In the Greek language, when this was originally written, this word was a legal word. And it really meant to make right, to deem somebody right, to see that right. You know, we are very blessed that we have 2,000 years of Christian leaders to look back upon and try to understand what our faith is about. You know, these ones who from the beginning, they didn't have that. They were working out. What does this mean? You know, one of the first ones you can read in the book of Acts were the first groups that got together. The church leaders in Jerusalem got together to decide, do they need to follow the law to be saved? And they said, no, that's not what we have to do. It was about 45 AD. But after that, they weren't allowed to get together. There was too much persecution. So the church really never had the freedom to get together until the Roman Empire said, okay, you guys can be free to get together now, which was like 320-something AD. And the big gathering right then was the whole decision was the Trinity, was God was the Father, Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit's God. That was the big, the Nicene Creed. That's what the whole issue was they were saying. So we get to look back on that, though, through the 2,000 years, and these ones have decided and worked on what does this mean? And I thank God that we can do that. You know, Martin Luther, who was one of the key leaders in the Reformation, which is basically the restoration or getting the church back on course, he said this term of justification, he says, is probably the main article for which the church stands and falls. So it's not something that we just brush under the table. It's like, that's not, you know, justification. I know what that means. Well, we do, but in some ways we don't. And, you know, the nice thing is, again, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Have you ever put a puzzle together? How many here have actually put a puzzle together? Now, how many of you like to just put a puzzle together without looking at the cover or anything? You just get it, you put it out, you don't look at anything. Now, I don't like that. That's the way it's done. Well, you know, in some ways, in the Christian faith, we can look at that, and how many know exactly what this puzzle is all about by looking at that? We have no idea. We know there's something there, could be whatever that could be. You know, and sometimes that's really what was happening in Christianity from the beginning, is they were looking at these things that Jesus said, and they were looking at what the apostles said. They go, what does this really mean? You know what? What? Yeah. I mean, we could think, well, I know what it means, but that's because you've had 2,000 years of leaders telling us what it meant, you know, and working this out. But back then, they had to work this out. There was, and you can look through the New Testament, there was all kinds of false teaching going on back then. We got a bunch of it today, but they had it back then. Even in the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, you can see there was all kinds of false teachings going on. So it's nothing new. And so we can look at this piece, but because we can look back, we can see other pieces. We can see this piece. Now, this is all part of the same puzzle. We can look at it. We can see, well, what's that mean? What's this mean? And we can look at these. And, you know, the nice thing is we can put it all together, and we can say, okay, so that's what that means. And that's really what the benefit of us is, to looking back. The only thing is that there's going to be generations to come that's going to look back on us and look about the understanding of Revelation. It's not that God is adding to his word. It's not that there's people rewriting the Bible. It's for us understanding what does it mean, because we're understanding who he is. And I believe that's what's happening. We keep having this greater understanding of who God is. There was a theologian or pastor, he's a Presbyterian pastor during the 18th century or 19th century, and he wrote several commentaries. And this is what he said about justification. His name was Albert Barnes. He said, justification is the declared purpose of God to regard and treat those sinners who believe in Jesus Christ as if they had not sinned. And we're not talking about forgiveness. We're talking about the view that God has of those who have received Christ. He goes on and says, on the ground and the merits of the Savior, it is not mere pardon. So it's not just saying, okay, go ahead. I'm not going to hold it. Go ahead. You're forgiven. Pardon is a free forgiveness of past offenses. It has reference to those sins as forgiven or blotted out. Justification has respect to the law and to God's future dealings with the sinner. It is an act by which God determines to treat him hereafter as righteous, as if they had not sinned. It's a big difference in forgiving and treating somebody as if they had never did anything wrong. It says about Jesus, says, he has taken our place and died in our stead. He has met the descending stroke of justice with which have fallen on our heads. If he had not interposed. So basically, Jesus took what we deserved. He took that instead. And because he took that, when God sees us, is as if we had not sinned. There's another leader, Dr. Ray Pritchard, who lives today. He said this. He says, we use the word justification, or more often the word justify, to speak of a man justifying himself. What we really mean is that he has done something wrong and going to offer some excuses to mitigate or somehow cause people to forget what he's done. So that's our basically term when we talked about, you know, justifying yourself. That's a lot of times what we see that. For us to justify means to give excuses for behavior or misbehavior. This is not the word justify, what the word in the Bible means. And the Bible, it's a legal term, which I shared that. Says you justify someone when you declare them not guilty and innocent and righteous in the eyes of the law. It does not mean to make righteous. It means to declare righteous. So the big difference was, okay, I got to work on this to make myself righteous. Where God says, what I see in Jesus, you're righteous. Your faith, you're righteous. Now that might be something hard for us to grasp. Might be hard for us to understand. There's this vehicle, it's called a Rolls Royce. You guys ever seen a Rolls Royce? A Rolls Royce, brand new Rolls Royce, will run anywhere from $295,000, I think there's a picture of it up here, $295,000 to $492,000. Depends what style you get. If you get an SUV or something, just a nice car. I can imagine what the insurance is on that thing. Yeah, I said, yeah, go get one today. And let your 16-year-old drive it. I just can't imagine paying $492,000 for it. All right. So, anyways, there's this story. There's this guy trying to, he was with the Billy Graham Association. Gustafsson. Anyways, he told this story, and it was several years ago, because the Rolls Royce, they for years have said how wonderful their cars are. They don't break down. So this guy owned one of these, and he wanted to take a trip over to Europe and France and drive all through there. He lived in England, and so he took the ferry across the English Channel and took his Rolls Royce with him. And he was driving around throughout the countryside, and his car broke down. He thought, what am I going to do? There's nobody around here that can fix this. So he contacted them, and they flew somebody over and came out to the country where his car was and fixed it. Now he's thinking, you can imagine what cars cost just driving them over to the, now this guy had to fly over and fix this. He's thinking, what is this thing going to cost? Now I'm thinking, if you can afford a Rolls Royce, who cares? I mean, you shouldn't be driving it if you can't afford it. So anyways, the guy flew back, the mechanic flew back, and the guy finished his trip, and he came back to England, and he never got a bill. And so he wrote a letter and said, hey, you know, this happened, told him all the stuff that happened. You know, your guy flew over here and all that kind of stuff. And the company wrote back a letter to him. He says, well, he goes, actually, we have no record of any of our Rolls Royces ever breaking down at any time, anywhere. So you don't owe us anything. So, but you know, in some ways, that is the way God sees us. That when we come to him, it says, where's the record of when I lied and cheated or committed adultery or stole something or did all this? Where's the record? He goes, we have no record of that. And that might be hard for us to comprehend because we're used to having to work things out. Have you ever seen this movie? It's A Wonderful Life. Well, if you remember, if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's a great movie. You need to see it. Anyways, it was one of those things where George Bailey, who's Jimmy Stewart up there, where George Bailey got to go back and see what his life would be like if he was never born. How his life affected everybody. Well, put yourself in this. What if God said to you, you get to live life now as if you never did a single thing wrong? Now, think about that. You get to live life now. We're gonna have you live a life so you never did anything wrong. That's exactly what justification is. That is what he means when he says that. Just as George Bailey got to experience that, we get experience in real life. We get experience that we can walk with God and have forgiveness through Jesus Christ, that we have never done anything wrong. That is hard for a human to grasp. For us to understand how to do that, because we're so used to remembering all the things we did wrong, or remembering all the things somebody did wrong to us, to remember those things. And, you know, we can spend our life in believing unbelief. In other words, we can read all this stuff about God, we can read all this stuff about the Bible, and we can acknowledge it, but we don't believe it. We don't believe it in here. We don't live it. We don't. It's not a matter of us. I'm just as guilty. I'm not going to say we and you. We're us, you know, that we can believe. Yeah, I believe Jesus forgave me, but, you know, I still got to work on this thing. You know, I just got to work on that. I got to pay him back. We can never pay God back for what he's done for us. We can never. We can never, ever do that. You know, when he did this in John 3:17, you know, we always hear John 3:16, but this is a great verse. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through them. God did not come to condemn us, but that we can be justified and be set free from that condemnation. That's why in Romans he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That we can walk with God without feeling that condemnation, because according to the legalism of heaven, which is eternal, we're free. If we have put our faith in Christ, we have that forgiveness and we're free. So, most of you know what that is. Do some of you know what that is? Captain America's shield. That's right. And it's made out of this stuff. Vibranium steel alloy, which I don't know if you know what that is, They shouldn't, because it's made up anyways. So it's the same thing that Wolverine has in his blood. But anyways, we'll get off of that. But this is all, but it's indestructible. And so, you know, as Christians, we need that shield when the enemy is coming against us and throws, I don't know if you watched any of the Captain America movies, but that shield gets hit by a lot of stuff. You know, even the Hulk hit it, and it's still indestructible. And so, you know, sometimes we got these Hulks in our life. I don't know if you know what the Hulk is. It's a big green guy. Anyways, sometimes things come into our life and come at us. And sometimes they're big and heavy, you know, and powerful. And we need a shield to stop when the enemy tries to come and says, hey, remember when you did that? Remember when that happened? How can you go through life and be free? How can you be in that role or be in that position or do this for God when remember what you did back then? That's the devil talking. That is the hawk or one of these evil things coming against you. But you know what? God has given us a shield too. It's called a shield of faith. And that faith, that can extinguish anything. Anything that the enemy comes against us, we can hold that up. Now, the issue is we have to hold it up. God's not going to hold it up for us. He's done everything else. It's like, here's the shield. Well, you know, it's not going to do us any good laying down there. We got to pick it up and say, no, I am justified before God through Christ Jesus. I don't have to come up with reasons why I can't do something. I can do anything to Christ because I've been justified. I've been forgiven. You know, now, that doesn't mean that all the people around you are going to forgive you. Or they're going to see you different, you know. But God sees you different. God sees you as free in a sense of not holding that against you. Now, you ever read something in the Bible that seems to contradict something else? You know, it's just like, okay, well, you said this over here, but then you said this over there. What does this mean? Well, so we got this, that we're justified or we're made righteous before God by faith. So I don't have to do anything. But then if you read in the book of James, chapter 2, he says, well, if you're not doing anything, you don't have faith. So where is the balance of that? Now, you know, one of the things that I've shared here before, one of the keys of any verse in the Bible is to do what? Is to look at the context. You know, and if you look at that and not just whip through, well, there's a verse over here, this is what that means. And here's a verse, well, this is what this means. If you look at what James is talking about there, he's talking about these people who are bragging about their faith. They're bragging about who they are. And he says, remember in James chapter 1, he says, well, he goes, you guys who read the word and you're bragging about this, do you ever do it? That's what he said to him back then. And he said, you know, you talk about who you are, but do you even care for people? Do you even love people? And that's when he said, he challenged them. He says, in the same way, James chapter 2, 17 says, the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Says, you believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. So, and they shudder. So, you know, we can have the same faith as demons, which is basically is, yeah, I believe God's there. We do nothing with it. Or we can have the Christian faith, which means we have a relationship. They don't. We have a relationship, and we can do something with it. It does things. And he talks about Abraham and how Abraham had this faith, and because of that, he was considered righteous before God. Now, the reason bringing that up is then this same illustration is the same thing that Paul used in Abraham, which is the whole focus of justification, which is Romans chapter 4. Says, what then, this is Paul, Apostle Paul saying this, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trust God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. So our credit, in other words, what we got for our faith is righteousness. We have been pronounced right before God. It's like, you know, when they talk about boasting, I remember reading this story. This guy, he was before the judge, and the judge said, okay, here's your fine. It was like maybe $200. And so the guy said, well, you know, he says, I don't have $200. He goes, well, then you're going to have to go to jail. We said, I can't go to jail, so I got to go to work. I got to supply for my family. So the people in the court, in the room, they took a donation. They raised $199. And he said, well, he said, that's not enough. You have to have $200, so take him to jail. So the guy was walking out, and he was feeling around, and he found a dollar. He had stuck down in there, he found a dollar. Now, the thing is he paid it, and he got all free. What do you think that guy's going to boast about? The $199 or the $1 that he found in his pocket? That's why we can't go by works, because we will boast about one little thing we do than the mercy and the grace that God has on us. That's why there's not one single thing, not one single ounce, not one single dollar, not one single work that we can do to add to our justification before God. It says in Galatians, Apostle Paul said, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus. If we could have our musicians come back up, please. So what do we do with all of this? You know, by faith we live before God as one justified. And, you know, as many Christians, hopefully we all have the first. The first time I prayed and asked Jesus in my heart. First time maybe I prayed and welcomed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The first time I prayed and saw God answer prayers. But, you know, the thing with Christianity is there should always be a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth. Not that I get saved over and over again. My salvation, I pray that prayer once. But my faith to believe God and to walk in that, that's something I have to choose to do every single day. There's a verse Jesus said in Luke 9:23. Says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. You know, part of denying ourselves, you know, sometimes we get this thinking of denying ourselves. Well, I'm going to resist sin. I'm not going to look at that picture. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, sometimes denying ourselves means we're denying our own unbelief. We're denying saying that, God, I don't believe that, and therefore I'm going to go by works, or I don't believe that you really forgave me, or I'm not, you know, and you might not verbally say that, but we live it. We might not say out loud, because I don't want God to know that. Well, he already knows what's in our heart. You know, he already knows, and so we might not be saying that, but we live it. And so there's a point of our faith of actually living justified. Living like we never sinned. And the only way we can grasp that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot, in our human minds, grasp that on our own. We cannot understand. That's a concept. That's a God concept. And our natural beings cannot grasp God concepts. There's this theology called natural theology. It's where people try to figure out God naturally without any revelation. It's not going to happen. We can see him. We can recognize him, but you will not fully understand him without the power of the Holy Spirit bringing revelation and saying, God, and yielding our heart, emptying our heart to a point and say, God, I don't know. Can we say that? Let's say that together. I don't know. So, Father, we just welcome. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to help us understand this great salvation. Help us understand what it means to be justified before you. Just thank you, Lord. You know, this morning, I'm going to ask if our personal ministry team would come on up, and if we could go ahead and stand. You may have never prayed a prayer that you feel that you've really prayed a prayer to say, God, I receive your justification. And in a moment here, we're going to sing a song. Mike's going to lead us a song. And during that song time, if you would like to come up to one of these ones, they can pray with you about that. Maybe you've prayed. You know, there's a verse in Galatians. It says that talks about falling from grace. You know, that's sometimes we get that mixed up and think, well, that means I've fallen to sin. That's not what that means at all. What that verse is referencing is that I stopped believing by faith that Jesus did this for me, so I'm going to go work out my own salvation. That's what the context of that word means. It basically means you fall from grace. The grace that God already gave this to you. And then I'm gonna step away. I'm gonna try to work this out myself. So that's what it means, falling from grace. Some of you might feel like I've fallen from grace. God, I'm not living by the grace of you. I'm living by my own works. First of all, in that, we repent. Repent is a very healthy thing. Repenting is not an evil thing. It's saying, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. I was wrong. I need to, hopefully, we have done that in the last at least month sometime, that we say, God, I'm sorry. I need to go on, that we are receiving that. Say, God, I need your help. And maybe that's something where at least you can come up. We prayed for that, for a greater understanding. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, and he died for all, referring to Jesus, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. If you're saying, Lord, I just declare and receive that verse for my life today. If you just lift your hands up to him, and we're going to believe for that. I'm going to read it again, and we're going to pray for that. You know, Christianity is not, it was a historical event, but it's not meant to live in our past. It's now. It's today. It's present today. So, Father, you said in your word here that Jesus died for all, that those of us who believe, Lord, should no longer live for ourselves, but for Jesus. And, Lord, we just welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you to help us make the right choices. Choosing you, God, in every area of our life, that you would show us. Lord, we just speak freedom, Lord. Every lie of the enemy that has tried to come in and trap ones of what they can't be and what they can't do and who they aren't, Lord, because of their past, we just tell it to stop in Jesus' name. We welcome, Lord, your freedom release. Your freedom release to each one of us, Lord, that we can walk in that freedom of being justified by faith in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mike's going to close us with a word here. Again, while we're singing, if you want to come up, and you can come up for prayer for anything. If you want these ones up here, be praying for you. Before you run off today, I encourage you to find some ones you don't know. Spend 2 or 3 minutes just saying hello to them. God bless you, and walk in the freedom of being justified before God.